Grab your Bibles if you would, and I'm going to be straightforward with you. I have battled all week the message. Everything in me wants to return and finish last week. Then there's another side that God's saying, no, let's go back to something we talked about earlier this week in our small group, in our devotion. And so I'm just going to follow God here and do something that I don't typically do. I mean, there's times that I get up here and God changes a message, and then there's times that we get up here and God just takes us into a different circumstance or a different setting and a different environment of worship. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I think our world would be totally different if Christians learned how to just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Just to cut away from the what has beens. You ever been there? Well, this is what we've always done, right? I've always got dressed this way. You know, I've always ate at this time. And to step into the other side of when God says, hey, why don't you just be you today? And why don't you just step into my time? Just do what I want you to do. Just surrender. I know today you might feel like you need to go make money, but maybe you just need to make your spirit right with God. And maybe today you feel like you need to go and do something and rest or relax, and God's saying, hey, maybe today's the day I need you to go that extra step or that extra mile or take that extra risk. You know, I've found this to be true in my life. Anybody else testify to this? Have you found it to be true in your life that God wants you to stay uncomfortable? I mean, God wants you to stay in a dependency mode to where you know that outside of him, you can't do anything. Without him, it's not going to make sense. It's not going to work out. And so today, I was going to take you to Mark 2. Casey, we're going to audible to Exodus 13. I told my wife, I said, you know, as God was working on me, I said, I'm torn. I'm kind of wrestling with God. Not a Jacob moment in the Bible where you're just fighting because something's different in your life. It's just, well, God, you're taking me somewhere that I've already been that I don't want to go back to. But, you know, when God keeps the reins on you, it's oftentimes good to stay in the pen, right? It's oftentimes good to stay right where he is. It's like he told Moses, think about this. When Moses and Joshua, they stepped into the presence of God, what is one of the things that God said? Take your shoes, what? Off. I think sometimes we get into this life mode to where we have this encounter with God, but we've got the next thing we got to do. And so we're enjoying this encounter, but we want to get to the next thing. You know what I mean? Have you ever been physically and mentally, physically in one place when your mind is in another? Have you ever been at the gas station and you're just wanting to fill up your tank because you're late for work, and then all of a sudden you see someone you haven't seen in 20 years and they come up and they want to talk, and you're sitting there and they're talking and you're nodding, you're smiling, you're trying to engage, but where's your mind? It's already heading to work. I'm late. I got all these other things. You know what I mean? I think sometimes the devil knows when God, I mean, I'm going to tell you this, but please write it down. I believe the devil recognizes the movement of God more than God's people. I mean, I believe he sees when God is up to something. And so what he wants you to do, Gigi, is when you're in a moment with God, he wants to say, hey, come on, you got other things to do. Hey, let's go. You got other things to take care of. And when God had an encounter with Moses and Joshua, hey, take off your shoes. We're going to stay right here for a little bit. Matter of fact, you see in Exodus this symbolism of a cloud. I was teaching our Monday night class that this cloud is mentioned about 5 times in the Bible, and every time it represents the presence of God coming into someone's life. And to the children of Israel, it was the presence of God that came and led them by day, and it turned into fire by night. And everything you did, you got scared, you didn't know where you were at in the wilderness. If you were a children of Israel, all you had to do is look up and say, but there's God. You know, he's right there. When the Egyptians tried to come down before Jesus parted the Red Sea and God let them walk across on dry ground, you know what the cloud did? The only time, Andre, that the cloud moved behind the forces is when the enemy was trying to sneak in. And the Bible says that it went and it settled itself, Exodus 14, settled itself in between the Egyptian army and the Israelite army. It's the only time that God moved and he wasn't leading them. You know why he wasn't leading them? Because he knew there was something after them and he wanted to get in between what they wanted to do and what he wanted to do. And I'm going to tell you this right now. We've got to get to this mindset that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai after leading 600,000 men plus women and children, that's where we come up with our evaluation of 1.5 million to 2 million people. As Moses went up on the mountain, you know what the Bible said the cloud that was leading them did? It settled on the mountain. It took Moses into a moment, and God said, I'm gonna come down to your moment, Moses, and me and you are going to talk. And you know what we got? The Ten Commandments. And we got a Moses that's face is shining bright, that they got to bag it. You know, I look at this and I start praying in my life, hey, God, you are the leadership. You say, well, I don't have a cloud leading me. Hey, because God didn't leave it up to you and I to look at the seasons or to look at the skies to know where he was. He gave us a written word. You definitely have a cloud leading you. It's called the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And he says, here I am, follow me. You say, I don't know what to do today. The Bible will point you in the right direction. I don't know who to be today. The Bible will make you what you should be. I don't know how to believe today. The Bible will give you something to believe in. We got to stop just saying you need to read your Bible, and we've got to understand that the Bible first read you, and that's why it's there to begin with. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him and for him, and without him, Jesus, nothing was made. And there's a God, there's a cloud that should be resonating in your heart, resonating in your mind through the Holy Scriptures. The Bible will use the Holy Spirit to invade your life so that this valley can turn into a Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, where you meet with him and you come down ready to take on a wilderness of unknown. Are you with me? All right, now understand this and get this. We oftentimes want God to do it in our way, in our timing, and in our comfort zone. Write it down. We oftentimes want God to do it in our way, in our timing, and in our comfort zone. Has anybody figured out yet that God doesn't do it any of those ways? I mean, God goes a whole different way. So as I was studying, and just for our small groups, we're in a Bible study on Monday nights. We zoom it out. And hey, we've been in Exodus how long now, Gigi? 6 months, 7 months? We're in chapter number 13. I got an email from Rachel saying, hey, are y'all still in Exodus? Yeah, we'll probably be here for the next 2 years, all right? So we're in Exodus. We're building these truths of God, learning these relevant stories in our lives, learning the symbolisms of how they apply. And in there, as I was studying verses 17 and 18 of chapter 13, ready? And it really hit me hard what these verses were actually saying. They've just left Egypt. You got it? What does Egypt represent? Somebody tell me. The world, sin, bondage. Let me put it into our terms. Your addiction, your insecurity, your affliction in life, the place that you don't want to be. The place that the enemy has had control of your life, and because the enemy was given control of your life, by the way, the Bible does not say that God gave the Egyptians the power and control over Israel. You know who surrendered that power and control? Israel. When Israel got dependent on Egypt because they were in famine, and Joseph looked at them before he died, and he said to them, when God takes you out of this place, isn't that awesome? Joseph is second in command. He's been raised by God to be over Egypt in a time of famine, meaning that the Jews had a high standing in Egypt during Joseph's life, but Joseph was wise enough to know that the conditions of the world will deteriorate, that the provisions of the world will fall short. So you know what he said? When you leave Egypt, take my bones with you. You know what he was prophesying? We don't belong here. And Egypt saw how strong they were getting, Exodus 1, and put them in bondage because they were scared they would revolt and take over. I said this so many times. You're not being attacked by the devil today because you're weak. You're being attacked by the enemy today because he recognizes the Spirit of God's power that is in you. And you say, why am I going through this? I'm a terrible person. No, you may be going through this because you're a powerful person and the enemy knows it. Are you following this today? The Bible says, so they started lording over them. You know, I'm going to tell you this. Your addiction doesn't have you unless you give yourself to it. Can you feel the realness of that? You say, well, I can't stop doing this. That's why there's a cross. That's why there's an empty tomb. God knew that. The Israelites, for the 430 years they were in the Egyptian control, could not look at Pharaoh and say, we're leaving. You say, well, they're the ones that put themselves into bondage. But you know what I've learned is when I put myself and open myself to the attack of the enemy, are you with me? Follow this. I am human enough to be sinful, but I am not godly enough to set myself free. I am human enough to get caught in the trap, but I am not God enough to get out. Satan will lure you into the trap, but you're going to need Jesus to get out. You're going to need a deliverer. You're going to need a champion. And for 430 years, they were in the snare and they could not get out. And on the year 430, God sent Moses, inspired by his command, to walk in, and the deliverer showed up. In AD 23 to 33, we have a savior that showed up and did something in their lives. Listen, his life was so impactful. It's where we get our date and time. That our entire calendar is centered around the birth of Jesus. Are you following this? And understand this. If you're hurting today, stop trying to get up and start leaning in. You know what Moses, none of this is, you know what Moses said? He said, God, how am I going to get the elders of Israel to believe what I'm going to say? Not Pharaoh, he could care less about Pharaoh. How am I going to get the people to believe? Write this down. The first step in freedom is not knowing the enemy, it's knowing the God of freedom. And a lot of times we say, I want to get better. I want to get up. I want to get married. I want a different job. I want, I need. And we look at what is ailing us instead of looking at what can heal us. And Moses knew that it was no good to go convince Pharaoh to let the people go if the people didn't believe they could leave. Are you following this? I could stand here all day long and tell you how you can get right through Jesus. But until you believe it, it ain't gonna happen. Are you with me? Until you receive it, it's worthless. And then Moses goes to the people first and he says, this is what God has said. I am that I am has sent me to tell you who the I am is, and that the I am has heard your cries in Egypt. He has heard them and he said, it's enough. And we are leaving this place. So you get ready. We're going to have to go through the first half of the plagues. We're going to have to go through the gnats. We're going to have to go through the frogs. We're going to have flies everywhere. We're going to have to go through the absent water supply as the water turns into blood. But we're not going to have to go through the death of our firstborn and the firstborn animals. We're not going to have to go through the blistering sores that plagues the Egyptians, because God's going to give us safety in the middle of the storm. Understand this, that when the plagues of Egypt started to get personal, all the other ones were annoyances. You got it? The flies, they all attacked the gods of Egypt, by the way. The flies, the water, annoyances. But the boils and the sores and the death, that's personal. Can I tell you this? When it came time for the plagues to get personal, the Bible says that Egypt was all plagued. Not one house in Egypt was absent, but the Israelites were totally protected and had no plague and had nothing come against them. Hey, the enemy may be annoying you today, but the enemy can't take you, can't have you, can't take you down, can't destroy you. Hey, the enemy can show up to God today and ask for the rights to your life. And God, just like he did with Job, may give him permission to test you, but he will not give him permission to take you. You may be in bondage today, but there's a deliverer that has come, and you can be free, and you can be made right, and you can be made holy, but you can also be protected in the middle of the plague, like COVID. You're saying, well, I'm going to be stupid and go out there and expose myself to it. That is not what we said. Matter of fact, can I give you this? God told the specific spot that would be safe from all the plagues. Those that are in this region will not have it. Are you with me? Well, I believe in Jesus, so I'm going to go out here and I'm going to get 2 inches away from somebody that has COVID and it's not going to touch me. You know what that is? Stupid. Are you with me? God says, stay away. All right, follow this. People say, well, No. I believe in God. And when God says use wisdom, use wisdom. And when God says follow, follow. And when God says go, go. And when God says do, do. You say you're scared of something today. You better believe I am. I'm scared of what might happen if I let the enemy back in to take control of my life again. I'm scared of what may be if I get outside of the will of God. I'm scared of what might happen in the other parts of Egypt in my life if I don't stay in that region of where God's protection is. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need a church that realizes that God has called us to holiness. That does not mean he's called us to perfection. It means he's called us to know and trust and love Jesus. That's good. I mean, that's good stuff. It's so good, I couldn't write it. You know what I mean? You get in these moments, Andre, and God starts moving, and you're like, God, why can't you let me write a book? You know, why is it when I'm sitting down trying to come up with a good sermon, you don't say these things? But then when we get on a stage, you start raining. Why? Because God knew that he was God, but he needed Moses to know that he was God too. Oh, man.
God, let somebody grab it today. In verse 17, as they were leaving, look at this. The Bible says when Pharaoh finally let the people go, circle that word and take a deep breath. Ready? Finally. Isn't that a good day? You've been waiting on a paycheck. Finally. Right? You've been waiting on your kid to finally understand and be obedient. Finally. Would you just say it with me? Ready? Take a deep breath and say it. Finally. You're going to have a finally in your life too. You're going to have a finally in your moment too. It says, finally, let the people go. God did not lead them on the main road. This got me big time. That runs through the Philistine Goliath territory. Even though, circle it, get it, that was the shortest route to the promised land. Can I tell you, today we're going to talk about the long way. We're going to talk about when God shows up and doesn't do it your way. When God shows up and says, I got something different I'm going to do in your life. You may be praying hard right now, and I'm going to tell you, you know why prayer is so defeating for most? Because they pray according to their will, and they leave no room for God's will. I've done it. You've done it too. God, make this happen. Let this happen. God, change my enemy's heart. God, change my husband's heart. Change my wife's heart. Change my children's heart. And then it doesn't change in the time or the way that we want it to change. It doesn't evolve in the way that we wish it would happen. My heart is broken today for a client. Matter of fact, on the way to church this morning, I broke a rule. We're not supposed to talk religion, but I called him and I said, bro, I'm just going to tell you what God has told me. I woke up today with my heart heavy because you lost that deal last night. But what if God has something so much better for you than something you had to fix up? And let me give you this. We walked and we showed. I spent all night, Friday night into Saturday morning in the ER. Got a bad pain in my neck. I'm not sick, have no symptoms, just a major pain going through my jaw. I got done, I went home. I had enough time to change clothes and go work. We walk into this place that was perfect for the want. Oh, this is good. It had the 3 bedrooms, it had the 2 bathrooms, and it was rentable. Perfect for the want. So we made an offer, right? And then somebody else made an offer. So we raised our offer. We threw all the cash that could be thrown at this deal and lost at 9:30 last night. I got on the phone with that guy and he was defeated. I went to sleep. I woke up. You know who was on my mind? The defeat of that man. And I called him and I said, you know, what if you would have gotten to that apartment that needed new walls painted and needed some sanding and needed some furniture and needed some things replaced in the kitchen and had needs that we did not even know? What would have happened if the needs would have been so great that you would have never returned a profit? What would have happened had you got the place and it actually been a hole? I've heard this statement a lot. A lipstick has been put on the pig. And at the end of the day, it's still a pig. Am I right? We got to believe that maybe God has the turnkey ready for you. Maybe God has the one that you're going to walk in and there is nothing to fix and there is nothing hidden and there is nothing that's going to stop you or snare you. There is nothing that's going to rob your family of resource or keep your kids from provision. Maybe what you love is not what God has for you. And maybe what God has for you, you will understand true love when you see it. But we want it our way in our time. So don't be discouraged today, brother. Don't give up today, brother. Maybe God has you in a season of wait because there's something out there that you didn't even know was possible. And it says he did not take them the long way because he knew if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their mind and go back to Egypt. Read the next verse, though. It says, so God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Put this in your notes. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like a what? An army what? Doesn't that seem to contradict itself? Anybody catch it? In one verse he says, if they find a battle, they're going to go back. In the next verse, he says, but they look like an army ready for battle. You know what, God hit me hard. You may physically be ready, bro, but this might not be. You may have all the resource. Hey, you may be sitting here with a fat wallet. I'm not. I don't even carry a wallet. You may be sitting here and you've got everything that you need to be successful. Have you ever thought, man, I'm a good hire, but nobody will hire me? You ever put application in and got rejected? You ever asked that girl out and she said no? Have you ever been in a situation to where your heart got dumped and you got broke and you're sitting there saying, what's wrong with me? And as you evaluate your life, you think, I'm a pretty good person. I got a lot to offer. Why is this happening to me? Because you may look like you're ready, but you may not actually be ready. You say, but I'm single. Oh, can I talk to my singles today? But I'm lonely. Loneliness is not why you should date somebody. Because if you're dating somebody because you're lonely, then you're going to be selfish in the relationship. You're going to be needy in the relationship. And you will get used by the relationship. Are you with me? You may be sitting here saying, I can't pay this bill, so I'm going to go sign the title of my car away. Don't! Why? I have to have. You've got a God that has. You got an ability. You know what you need to do today? Stop belling out and just work. Just do what God wants you to do. But this way seems the way we need to go. Can you imagine Israel saying, why did we make that turn? If you can't imagine it and you're married, just think about the time you said you knew a shortcut. Just think about the time you were driving with Garmin and or Siri or Maps or Google or Waze, and they told you to go straight, but you knew that there was a better way. And so what do? You turn on the blinker. And next thing you know, your kids start questioning every decision you're making. Why are we going this way, Dad? Your wife starts saying, you're going the wrong way. Husband starts saying, what are you doing? Is there any testifiers in the place today? And you're sitting there and they're saying, you should have done this. You should listen to that. You should go this way. But you knew a better way. Israel probably got to the right turn on the main highway. And they meant to go straight because they wanted it easy. But God knew straight would take them into a battle they were not ready for. Write this down. Maybe today you're praying for your circumstance to work out in a certain way. But God knows if it did, you would fall short and you would mess up and you would get attacked and you're not ready. We always say the mind over the matter. How many of you have heard that? It's mind over matter. And I've heard somebody say, well, if you don't mind, it don't matter. You know what I've learned? The matter is the facts. The matter is the circumstance. The matter is what you can see and physically, tangibly, you know what's going on around you and you can figure out. And what I have found is the matter can look okay and the mind still be messed up. And we say, well, it's mind over matter, and that's actually true. Look at Philippians 2, if you would. Casey, I did not give it to you. I'm sorry. Philippians 2, let's go King James Version. All right, here it is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What's it say? Let the facts be what they need to be, and then you can do what you need to do. No, it's simply saying this. Get this mind right, because what you're about to go through is going to take a fight. What you're about to do is going to be difficult. Church, it's not going to be easy for Grace Community Church to be what we are supposed to be. There's going to have to be some heart change. There's going to have to be some unity. There's going to have to be some patience. There's going to have to be some fearlessness. There's going to have to be some reliance on God. There's going to have to be some surrender of the past and embrace of the present. There's going to have to be, I'm not going to do this to prove people wrong. I'm going to do this to make people right in the eyes of God. It's going to have to go against everything we want to go. And the circumstance is ready. You're primed and ready. We're in a church full of sinners today. We've got everything we need, the Bible says, to carry out the will of God. But if the mind isn't ready, then it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You're not going to be able to overcome. And God looks at him and says, man, you look good, but you're not ready. You're not good on the inside. Let's take the long way. You know what God wants to do in the long way? He wants to train you. He wants to prepare you. He wants to equip you with what you'll need. You know, you can go from slave to free quick, but it's hard to go from free to powerful like that. You can transform in the name of Jesus overnight, but can you command in the name of Jesus? Are you with me? You can say, God has set me free from the devil and his snares, but are you able to proclaim the name that set you free? I was thinking about this on my way into church today. Jesus gets out of the boat. Here comes the man. Maybe you know this story. You find it in all the Gospels. He comes out of the graveyard. They've had him chained. They keep clothing him. He's butt naked, and he keeps breaking chains because he's got so many demons in him, he can't even function. The demons are in total control. And when they see him, they come running to him, using the man as their vessel. And when they get, oh, this is good. When they get to Jesus, the man doesn't talk to Jesus, the demons do. Are you with me? What are you doing here, Son of God? What do you want to do with us, Son of God? Don't destroy us, Son of God. The man had no power. The man had no control. He was totally under the influence and totally bound. But when Jesus showed up, the man had nothing he could do, but the demons knew that there was something Jesus was wanting to do. And so when they saw Jesus, they wanted to figure out what it was he wanted to do. And so they ran to him, and you know the story. Please don't destroy us. Let us stay on this earth. So what does Jesus do? He lets them go into the pigs by their request. What do the pigs do? They go drown themselves. All right, are you following this? That's not the part I want you to catch. It's the next part. When the shepherds saw what the pigs did, they went and told the town. Now think about this. In the eyes of the town, it wasn't about the man that had been healed. It was about the produce that had been lost. Are you with me? And the town shows up and sees the man sitting there, and the Bible says, in his right mind and fully clothed. For years, they had chained this man up to try to keep him out of town. And for years, the man kept getting free. Every time they'd go to the graveyard to leave flowers on the grave, the man would torment them. It's in the Bible. Go check it out. And when they get here, the Bible says that they were afraid, and they asked Jesus to do what? Leave. Are you with me? I was thinking of that. How in the world could you see what Jesus had just done to a man that you couldn't control or understand, but you were afraid of, and still be so scared of Jesus that you want him to leave? It's because we believe in the tangibles of our lives, like the pigs, more than we believe in the power of God in our life. I don't understand it. They couldn't even eat the pigs. It was an unclean animal. Are you with me? Their traditions and laws say that all that could ever be is a pig. They could only trade it for goods. They could not use it, but they loved that more than they loved Jesus. So now I start thinking about my money. Is that the pig in my life? I start thinking about, and I almost wrote a whole sermon on the way to church today on this little piggy went home. You know what I mean? Like, here it is. We've got to understand this, and we got to get it. I think the church sometimes get more interested in what we can look like, what we can accomplish, what we can build, what we can promote, what we can bring on, than we get interested in who Jesus is and what he can do. Is that good? You convicted yet? I mean, I got convicted. I pulled into the driveway here, and as I was driving to my part, I said, okay, God, take all my pigs. Take anything that the devil could possess to use against me. Take anything, take my desires, take my planes, take all these things that I have in my life and just be present. Just be real. Just guide, just usher, just do. You know why? Because I want to be so caught up in what Jesus has done in people's lives that I'm not worried about what I'm losing out on in this world. And we get in these moments that we're sitting there and we're saying, okay, God, this is the way I thought it should happen. We make the bid on the house and we don't get the house and we're wondering what's wrong with us. Nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with you. Will you please write it in your note? It may not be that something's wrong with me. It may be that God's working in me. Maybe it is that God recognizes what I can handle, and maybe it is that God recognizes what I can't. Maybe God knows that if you faced Goliath today, that you would be falling back into the trenches trembling. And so today he took you the long way. Today, he took you the way that you didn't want your life to go. Today, he took the God out of your life that you thought you had to have. Maybe today, he knew that something needed to happen. So I'm going to give you five things. Write them down. Ready? Five things that God grew their faith in by taking them the wrong way. Number one, write it down. God grew their faith in his presence, the cloud before. Read the next few verses. It says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you. When he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. Then Israel left Succoth, and they camped at Ethan on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them. Aren't you thankful? Say, God, thank you for going on ahead of me. God, thank you for leading. God, thank you for guiding. God, thank you for getting me through this moment, getting me through this day. I've learned in my life that the matters of my life, the facts and circumstances will always change, but my mind should be established on the unchanging God that we serve today. You said it's mind over matter. Yes, because matter doesn't last, but your mind is with you forever, and we need to establish our mind on his truth. God's presence is leading you. Are you following? Are you with me? Are you there? Are you looking? I had somebody ask me one time, what do I do about this such and such way that I'm dating? Every time I date somebody through this way, it ends up being trash. I said, you just need to trust God with your waiting. Instead of going through all these other things and trying to find the right person, go to the throne of God who can actually put you to sleep and create the right person. I mean, think about this. If God can lay Adam down and then bring out the perfection of Eve, then what is it that God could do while you're resting? While you're leaning in, while you're just saying, okay, God, feed me, nourish me. You know, I think we have some issues. I think we have some problems in our faith. I have one in mind. Can we just talk about it? Sometimes God's way makes us very angry at him, does it not? Have you ever been mad at God? You ever questioned him? If the answer is no, get out of your sin and get into truth. Have you ever prayed so hard? When Jordan and I first got married and started looking for houses, it seemed like, you know, we tried to do it so spiritually. There was like two houses we went to and we laid hands on the door. If two touching anything, asking in agreement in Jesus' name, what's the Bible say? It shall be done. So misused in what we were doing. So misquoted. And by the way, that is not talking about your wish list. Because there's some things you're touching you should not be touching. Boom, leave it there. We lay our hands on and we say, oh God, do this. And God's saying, get your hand off that. I mean, like, what are you doing? Am I right, Phil? Sometimes we're just saying, okay, two of us in agreement, this is going to happen. I'm just going to be honest. What we should be in agreement about is that God's will should happen. And I remember Jordan and I, but this was before we were real. I was a realtor. This would be great now. We would touch a house and we would say, God, give us this house. It would sell that day or the next, am I right? And not to us. And it wasn't a big market. I mean, we're talking about the 2010. We're in the slump. We're in the crash. There's houses everywhere for sale. There's houses that we went to look at that have been for sale for over a year, but we laid hands on it and it sold. And we're like, God, what are you doing? You know, we go home and I mean, you put your thumb in your mouth and it's like, well, God doesn't love me. Right? You've been there. Don't act like you're better than us. You say, well, I've never needed a house. Okay, but what about the TV that's in your yard or a TV that's in the dump that you had to have that you had to throw away last week because it doesn't work anymore? Sorry. Even the house we currently lived in, we prayed over and it sold. I remember us being so defeated after that one. I literally felt like we settled as we bought our next house. You know what God did? He took us to a house that in 2 years would grow $40,000 in equity. In 2 years, during the slump of the economy. That's weird. Maybe the long way has something to it. And in that 2 years, while we're living in that house, you know what was happening at the house we really wanted? It was being revented. We had gone and we had looked, and some of you know this space. We went around, Andre, and I opened the crawl space door, which was an actual physical door. I opened it, and there was this huge crawl space, and I told Jordan, I'm going to come down here and just build a room. This will be my man cave. And you know, in my genius mind, you were going to have to go outside to get in it. Right? A place to escape, a place that I can earn my man card and, you know, build things that I never finish, you know, but I can try. And God sold it. But the man that bought it had a different vision for what could happen downstairs. So he went in and he put a whole new kitchen and a laundry room and a bedroom and a living room and storage in the space that I was only going to put a room in. He took the dining room and he cut stairs in to give it access through the house. I remember the day that we were looking for houses again because we knew our in-laws were going to move down and we wanted to live with us. So we were looking for something with a space that they could live in. We didn't know God's plan. I remember we found a house right over here near the church. I'm talking 2 minutes from the church and we thought this is going to be it. This is going to be the one. You know what we did? We prayed over the door. You think we'd stop touching doors? You know what happened? 130 plus days on the market sold that day. I'm like, what is God doing? You know what God did? He put that original house on the market that we wanted back on the market, but totally redone in the way that we needed it to be. And now my brother-in-law lives in the basement. My father-in-law lives upstairs. We're still trying to convince the mother-in-law doing that. We are the Brady Bunch and we're loving it. You know, here's a story. I remember when that house came back on the market, we were in Illinois, and I said, Jordan, you're never going to believe what just hit the market. Here we are in a season of discouragement. You're never going to believe what just came back available. It's the house that we loved. Well, let's go look at it. You know what happened when we open the door and we walk in and you go into the dining room and you look around and you're like, wait a minute, there's stairs there. There didn't used to be stairs there. You go down the stairs. Wait a minute, this is exactly what we needed. You know what I found in life? That sometimes God knows what you need before you need it. And while you are begging God to do it your way, he is renovating the way that it needs to be done because you've got to see that God can do it better than you could have done it. Are you following this? Can you sit there and now we're in the season of we're going to sell to downsize. And we can't find anything. And the market's crazy. But you know what I know? That I can trust God to lead us where he wants to go. Why? Because God decided to take the long way. And because of the long way, we got a better story. Because of the long way, we got more power. Because why? God is present in the moments that you lose your mind. God is still stable. He went before them, leading them. Anybody else needing this today? Would you slip your hand up? Let's just see. Look at this. God was going to teach them about his protection too. I already told you that one. He went behind them to keep the enemy army set up right here because they were in pursuit of them. And their camp was set up right here because there was a raging sea and nowhere to go because God's way met a dead end. God, this is good. God's ways met and ended at an empty tomb, totally sealed, guarded by soldiers. God's way led to the death of the Savior and disciples not knowing what to do. Even the disciple that said, Jesus, you'll never die. I'll never let that happen, is now sitting somewhere in hiding saying, how could this be? God's way leads to the place that you're standing there saying, what just happened? Like, God, we trust. Can you imagine me and the 11 disciples betrayed by one that you loved? And the one that you loved that betrayed you, not only betrayed you, but stole what mattered most. Kind of sounds like a divorce. I don't know who I'm speaking to. It just hit me really hard. Maybe you've been betrayed by the one you love and now they're gone. And you're sitting there saying, I'm not going to be able to feed my kids. Oh, God loves graveyards. God loves dead ends. When your resources and your power rolls out and his can step in. Here they are in the 11, they're scared to death. And all of a sudden, a woman who used to be a harlot shows up at the door and says, he's not in the tomb anymore, guys. I saw an angel, I saw Jesus. John looks at Peter, Peter looks at John, and the race is on. There's going to come a moment in your life that God shows up and says, it's time. We're ready. Can I really tell you what's going on in our lives right now? Is this okay for me to say? You don't know what I'm going to say. If you get mad at me, baby, just get right with God before we leave, okay? A year ago, we didn't even know if we were going to have cars. A year ago, I lost my income, total. I sat down and I projected how long our resources were going to last before we were going to have to declare bankruptcy. We had till the end of November, and we would lose our cars, we would lose our home because of my sin. Are you with me? I had two people advise me that the moment our finances got hard, that was when Jordan was going to leave me. I remember sitting on my back deck, falling into Jordan's lap, just weeping. I bet our whole neighborhood could hear me then. And I thought to myself, there's just no way we're going to do this. You know what the enemy showed up said? You're worth a lot of money dead. I've had a life insurance policy for about 7 years now that'll pay our house off if I die. Are you with me? I think sometimes we just want our preachers to get up there and be fake and just tell us what the Bible says, give us a 30-minute sermon so we can go home. But you know what? We have real lives too. We have real problems too. I remember taking the gun out of my van because I would drive down the road and I would think while I was driving down the road that I could just go somewhere private and end it. Enemy starts saying your family would be better off. I'm going to tell you this now. I've dealt with a lot of suicide. I've never seen a family come out better on the other side of it. I'm right, Tammy. I've never seen them celebrate. But I have seen the devil wreak havoc in their minds for years. But somehow in that moment, it sounds like it's the best option. Some of you have been there. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're listening and I'm praying that God will invade your home if this is you right now. I remember standing at that dead end with all the enemy coming down on me. When I say enemy, that's not any people. That's not any church. That's not anything. You know what the enemy is? It's when the accuser shows up and starts abusing you with the accusations against you. You know what I have found is why the accuser is accusing you of the accusations? Believers are picking up stones to stone you with it. But in the middle of the accusation of the accuser and the abuse of the believer, there was Jesus. A man called me and said this statement. I heard what you did. And I was mad. And I wanted to be done. But God told me if I was going to turn my back on you, I had to rip the whole book of Psalms out of my Bible. And I made you a promise. I remember preaching a sermon 2 years ago that God was moving in our lives, that Jordan was going to come into ministry with us. This is in my sin, that God was going to come into our ministry and that we were going to minister together. I had that dream. It was there. Didn't have the right mind, though. Physically looked ready for battle, baby, but the mind wasn't right. Standing on a stage day after day, trying to preach and proclaim truths that I so desperately wanted to believe in and I knew were true. And thank God that the Holy Spirit works even when you're not doing a work, right? He said, I made you a promise 2 years ago that we're going to take care of it. And you know what happened? Provision. Manna from heaven. See, God's not only going to prove that he's present, God's going to prove that he's protection by guarding you against the enemy, but God's also going to put some stuff on the ground for you that you need. And you say, I don't like the long way, but in the long way, you find that you can believe that God is the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, that God is the one who is rich in mercy and grace. It is God who is the one that can provide what you don't even deserve from the provision. It is God that can satisfy the need. You know what I have found in this? That I could be physically what I wanted to be, but if I wasn't spiritually where I needed to be, the physics didn't matter. Because everything inside was chaos, and everything inside was torture, and everything inside was panic. And you get to the Red Sea, and you look at Moses, and you look at God, and you start saying, I wish you would have just let me die in Egypt than to bring me out here to die. I trusted you, God. I believed you, God. But why did you leave me here? Because he needed you to know that he alone was your hope. And maybe mentally you believe in God. Maybe you're a Christian today, and maybe you're living in sin. Maybe you're seeking pleasure. Maybe you're seeking the things of the world, thinking that those things of the world are going to satisfy. So God says, hey, let's go the long way, because on the long way, I'm going to teach you that all you need, you've already got. And all you need is right here ahead of you. And all you need is inside of you and beside you. And all you need is going to protect you and lead you. You look like a warrior. You've got the attitude of a peasant slave. So we're going to go the long way so you can get some confidence. By the way, write it down. Stop trying to get confidence in yourself and start getting confidence in God. And then you'll realize that in yourself, in your matter, in your circumstance, in the facts of your life, that it's the confidence of God that overcomes those things. It's not the confidence you can have. Your power falls short. Your religion, it doesn't work. Hey, your righteousness is filthy rags. But God is perfect. And God is able. And God is present. And God is protecting. And God is going to do what you need him to do that you don't even know needs done. Hey, aren't you glad today for the God that brings manna into your life? The God that lets the enemies against you see you go free as they're dropping their stones one by one. She's picking up hope as they're dropping their accusation. She's picking up identity as she is laying there guilty and ready to die. They're standing there realizing they cannot do anything to her because Jesus is there. Man, it's good to have Jesus, isn't it? But not only was he going to provide, man, I'm snotting everywhere. Oh, he wanted to teach them his power. Will you write these three major truths down? God literally gave them to me in the bathroom before I came out today. Of this church. Dennis even came in. Are you okay? It's amazing when you can sit on your throne in front of God's throne. I shouldn't have said that. My wife just has her head down just shaking it. You see her over there? Write this down, please. Without the long way, we don't know about the Red Sea. And without the Red Sea, the enemy would stay in pursuit. Look at this. And without the enemy being destroyed, we don't truly have freedom. Are you following this? If they go through the land of the Philistines, not only does Egypt keep chasing them, but the Philistines start too. God, this is good. But instead, they come face to face with this encounter where God's power is going to show up in a way that only God can do. You say, I want a shortcut, when God says, I want a story. Are you there? You say, hey, listen, there were many nights that I spent laid out just like this in our bedroom floor, just crying and saying, God, just take my life. And I would get so mad because I heard God saying, I'm going to use it. And I would say, no, God, I'm not worthy. I'm not able. I don't want to tell this story. And God says, it's not your story. I don't want them to know. But God says they need to know. I didn't want to tell you. God, I didn't want to tell her. But I remember the moment we stood on this stage. I wrote on a note, on a page, that me and my wife, we didn't have notes of what we were going to say in our confession to the church on July the 12th. We had notes to each other. And one of those notes was this. It is not, we're not going to let Satan have this story. And I remember laying there saying, kill me. And him saying, I did. You are dead. Now stand up and live. Isn't that good? Just like those guys. Jordan sent me a message. I was listening to it yesterday. Just like Peter and John coming into the temple. I like how that preacher said it this way. While everybody was getting into their positions, people were going to church for the time to prayer, and the beggar was getting in his position at the gate to ask for money. As everybody was getting into their positions, God was getting into their purpose. Give me some money, silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and what? Walk. All of us went the 33 years of Jesus when he's miracle working, casting out demons and saying he's the King of Kings and Israel's gonna rise again. All of us love that Savior that comes in and says, here's a bonus check. We love the provider that comes in and says, here's the perfect job. Here's the perfect husband. Here's the perfect wife. Here's the perfect kid. We love it when God is the genie in the bottle that works out all our things. We hate it when God says, you don't trust my power, do you, bro? Oh, Gideon, you mighty warrior, I'm weak. I'm just the poorest of the poor. Israel, man, look at you. Look at you. You're not in the slave rags anymore. Now you're wearing the garments of Egypt. Now you're wearing their best. They gave you money to leave. You went from broke to fully funded. You went from worthlessness to an army. Look at you. Verse number 18. You look like an army ready for battle. So now let's do some training. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to use the resource I give you for nourishment? And you can trust God all day long, and you can follow God all day long, and you can believe that God's a provider all day long, but do you believe that God is a resurrector? Do you believe that God is a miracle-working God? Do you believe that from dust he made you and dust you'll return? He can take the dirt in the desert and build an army of human race that could take over the world. He can take the nothingness of a universe and speak, and multiple things of light exist, and multiple things in that moment come into being. He can take a worthless moment and fill it with power. He can take a church that's broken and raise it to life. God is not just in the crucifixion moment of your life. He's also in the resurrection moment of your life. And sometimes you got to see him part the seas so that you can believe that he will not leave you or forsake you, that he will do what you cannot do. But if you took the shortcut, you would miss the story of God's power at the Red Sea. I wanted to pastor from the time that God called me to pastor, and I never wanted to give it up, and I never wanted to surrender. And then I confess, and I never wanted to pastor again. But now I realize that we can pastor powerfully because I saw the enemy come down against our marriage, come down against our finances, come down against our purpose, come down against our provision, come down against everything I thought we had to have. But I saw God show up in so many moments that right now, right here. Can I tell you what's happening in our lives? This is what I asked permission for. Now I got boldness. I don't need her permission. Ready? Oh, I just lost all that. But no, I'm just kidding. My wife has multiple job offers. So do I. That the thing we thought we never did. Now we're in the season of, okay, God, this is weird. We went from not knowing what we were going to do to, God, now what do we do? Are you with me? My brother, who hasn't talked to me in this whole season, offered me a job 2 days ago. Am I right? I screenshot it, sent it to Jordan saying, what is this? I sent him a happy birthday bro text in December. He never even replied. He never even messaged me on my birthday. Nothing. And all of a sudden, would you pray about, are we praying about? No, I'm not saying that. Just stop saying, oh, is he, don't. No. We're staying right where God wants us to stay. A counselor wants me to join him. They want me to join this. They want me to do this. I sit back sometimes and I think, they must not know what I've done. I remember when we went to the scary season of life that we're in right now, somebody on the phone with me and I said, have you heard what I did? He said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So I told them, I said, I cheated on my wife. I committed adultery. You know what that woman said back to me? I don't care what you've done. It's not my job to figure out what we need to do with what you've done. It's my job to protect you right where you are. You know what she said? Maybe it's time for you to stop telling that story. I was like, you know what I realized? And God told me, they may have wanted to go back to Egypt in this story, but they didn't call them slaves ever again. They never looked at themselves and said, we're just slaves. because God did something they couldn't do. And God may have you on the long way right now, and I'm going to tell you what's happening. All of a sudden, the Red Sea parts. And now all you know to do is step out on dry ground. You're finding your purpose. And as you walk across, guess what God does? That Red Sea that freed you. What's it do to them? Anybody know the story? It kills them. But God, I went the short way. You got an enemy that if we don't deal with it, it's going to keep chasing you. Isn't that good? Say, I don't want to confess. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So now for I will not tell anybody else because I've confessed it to you and it's all good. That's the Josh Moore version, right? But God says, hey, once you confess, the enemy gets swallowed by the grace. Once you repent, the enemy gets destroyed by the mercy. And you say, God, but let me just be who I've been. Let me just do better. Your best will never be good enough. God, just let me have the easy way. Okay, know this. If you took the easy way, I've learned this, and this is true. Grab it and realize it, that God can change everything in you overnight, but the habit still has to be broken. That God's grace and God's mercy can consume you, but you've got to actually believe that you're not a slave anymore. I was talking with a real estate agent in our office the other day, and we were just sitting there, and when we were talking to an older lady, she's probably 60, 70 years old, and she started talking about, what do you think this market's going to do? I said, I don't know. It's scary. I said, but what I do know is Jesus is coming back, and this market's just teaching me that might be soon. You know, I look at it, and I'm not going to get all political, but now they're talking about how you have to have a passport to travel. They're calling it the vaccine passport. Have you heard of it? You're saying, oh, it's evil. No, but it is setting us up. The Bible says without the mark of the beast, you can't buy, trade, or sell. And I thought they'll never pull that off in a world. And now they're saying you can't go anywhere unless you have this. And I'm like, ooh, he's coming back. I mean, he's getting ready. They can start to dictate the world. They can start to do this. You're saying that passport's the devil. No, that's a passport. That's all it is a passport. But it does show that they're learning how to control a mass population and how to be able to dictate what people do in their life. You're saying, get off this. No, let's stay right here. It's about time that Christians believe Revelation's not just a story in the Bible, that it's a reality, that there's coming a day that a trumpet's going to sound. There's coming a day that a Savior's going to return. There's a day we're going home, a day that this is over, a day that it's all going to, and it may be in our lifetime. What an honor. But if it's not, if it is, what matters is we got work to do. We've got to get the word of God out. You say, well, I'm so scared of what the government's doing. Let the government keep getting you close to Jesus. You say, well, they're trying to control us. If you truly believe the Bible, they have to. It doesn't mean we don't fight it, but if you truly know the word of God, that the more control they get, the more control Jesus has. Are you with me? Are you following this? This is good stuff. That on the day they come out and they announce that we are a one world system, that we are a one world money, we don't no longer have change. We no longer have these things. We no longer have the things that we've always known. And it's evolving, and they're talking, and they're meeting, and global people coming together in conferences to do things. They're setting up the stage, and you may be watching CNN and Fox and getting scared. And I'm watching CNN and Fox and saying, I'm getting ready, because my Savior's coming. He's coming in. Iran's mad at Israel. Hey, they're wanting to attack. They're wanting to go. Hey, Israel sabotaged our ship. We're going to get all the nations that are on our side to war against them. And I'm jumping up and down and saying, hey, let's get ready for the return of Jesus. Let's get ready for him to come back, because it may seem like a long road, but that long road will take you home. And that's a good place to be. His power, his power, his power, his power. Without the long way, we have no Red Sea story. Without the Red Sea story, we still have an enemy in pursuit. But because of the Red Sea and the long way, the enemy gets conquered, and we get set free. Can you imagine standing on the shores of the Red Sea looking back, and here's the sound of thousands of horses. Here's the sounds of chariots with spikes on the wheels. Soldiers don't charge without a yell. Here's the scream of the enemy as they come to kill. And as the last person steps out of the Red Sea and turns around, they're surrounded by the sound of death. They're surrounded by the sound of the enemy. They're surrounded by the fear of what may happen if that soldier meets the other side. And as they charge and their generals send, as their horns blow and their battle drums cry, and they turn around to see the enemy coming, as they are scared and petrified by the moment and what they see, as they know that it's about to be over and they're defenseless. They may have the money of Egypt, but they don't have the weapons. And they're standing there, and here he comes. He's got all the accusation. That enemy knows where they've been. That enemy knows who they were. That enemy regrets the fact that they got out of slavery to begin with. And so they're coming to take them back. They're coming to wipe them out. Their daughters are about to be raped. Their wives are about to be taken. Their husbands are about to be killed. And as they stand there petrified in fear, as they watch this army come, the army of God, his angels come down and they remove the barrier that set them free, and it destroys them. I'm going to tell you this, the cross that set you free killed the enemy today. It destroyed his power. It stripped him of everything that he's got. And the same thing that God used to set you free was the same thing he used to kill the enemy that tried to take you back. Whew, that's good. It's power. It's real. And there's a world that needs to know the story of God. Whew. He wants you to learn he's present. He wants you to know his protection. He wants you to experience his provision. He wants you to witness his power. But he wants to purpose your journey. 40 years later, when they stepped into Canaan, the Bible says the Canaanites knew what God had done at the Red Sea. Whew. 40 plus years later, the enemies of Israel were already scared because God took the long way. And in the long way, his power was made known. Would you write this in capital letters? God, take me whatever way you want to take me. Even if you take me the long way. I wouldn't trade anything. Baby, I'm going to make a real statement here. It may trigger you. Stay with me. We have not always had what we have now. We have not always been what we are now. I told my small group this, I'll tell you. I looked at Jordan, I said, can you believe we've been married 11 years in June? 11. I said, we're going to celebrate 11 years. You know what Jordan looked at me and said? No. 1 year. This is the first year that you have been my husband. I said, no, baby, it's 11 years. We got memory. No. This is the first year that you've been mine. I'm okay with a new beginning, aren't you? I'm okay with my story not being the same. Still 11 years, though. But she says one. I would not trade you for the world. But for 10 of those years, man, you weren't that valuable. I'm sorry, it's truth, isn't it? For 10 years, I cared about me more than you. I cared about how I felt. I cared about what I look like. I was riding with someone this week. I picked them up. They went to work with me, and I was showing them this page that I signed on June the 11th last year, baby, 6 days after our anniversary, where I surrendered my rights to God. And there was a list of things and relationships that I surrendered my rights to and positions that I surrendered my rights to. And I remember writing in, I surrender my right to pastor, to be a husband, to be a father. And you know what God said? Well, I'm not going to surrender my purpose. Shortly after that, we went to your wedding. When did you get married? September 12th. I was scared to death to go to your wedding, Ashley. Yeah, well, I am now. I wasn't going. Not because of you. I was just scared. I remember coming into that wedding. Are y'all okay? I remember walking in not knowing where we were going to sit. I wanted to get to my chair, and I wanted to stay there, and didn't move. I didn't move until it was almost over. We sat down by an old friend. I wasn't going to sit down by the person, but they insisted. Hadn't seen him in months. They stood up. Come here. Come here. We're still walking in my shame. Moment we sat down, maybe a minute later, she slid her phone across the desk, the table there, to Romans. She said, read it. The callings and giftings from God are without repentance. And she said, God is not going to take back what he started in you. God is not going to forget what he started in you. God did not take us out of Egypt. God did not deliver you from your shame. God did not kill his son so that you would walk around the rest of your life feeling like you didn't deserve anything, feeling like you couldn't be anything. God did not say, pack your bags, let's move on from here, because he decided to take you out into miserable, uncomfortable life. No, God took you out so that he could raise you up. And God may be doing it a different way than you want it to be done. And God may be saying, have some patience, wait on me. God may be doing things where you can still see the enemy coming down on your life, but what God is doing is keeping you close enough that you'll be able to witness who he is, and you'll be able to understand what he is. And so there will be a story in your life, and God will do what only God can do. And one day you'll stand on a stage in front of people and a camera that scares you to death, and you'll be able to proclaim, Egypt once had me, the enemy pursued me, but God went before me, and now because of the long way, we got the right way, and we see walls and giants fall. And 40 years later, the enemy will still know what God can do through your life. That's the things that God wants to do. So bow your heads, close your eyes. Today you came to church and you looked like the church. Ooh, look at that army walking out of Egypt. You looked the part. You smiled. You sang. And you look physically present. Some of you know good and well. Your mind ain't ready. And I hear God speaking right now into this moment through my lips to declare this one statement. Trust him. Trust him. You say, but his way seems difficult. It is. Come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take. You come first, you take next. My yoke upon me. Learn of me. That means you got to study. You got to grow. For I am meek and lowly. And here it is. Here's the result. And you will have rest for your soul. Anybody else tired in the place today? Anybody else, the journey's getting to you? It's hard. Would you slip your hand up and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Come on, now let's be honest. Yeah. What about a balcony? Anybody saying there's some discouragement and there's some confusion and I don't understand what's happening in my life? Would you slip your hand up right now? Anybody praying your heart out and wondering if God's listening? Would you slip your hand up? Are you there? Anybody in a season of I don't know what to do? Just know that God knows that if he answered your prayer the way you want to answer your prayer, there's a battle you're not ready to fight. There's an enemy you cannot see. So the way that God is going to take you may not seem right, but there is a way that seems right to man, but the end of it's destruction. But there's a way that God goes that has the power and the provision, the protection, the presence, and the purpose, everything you need. And we need some people to say, even when I don't understand, I will follow. Even when I don't agree, I will obey. Even when I don't know what to do, I will trust. I will trust. I will trust. Take me, God. Take me the long way and use me, God. Use me, God, in the journey so that your word can go before us. If that's you today that says, okay, God, if it's the long way, we'll take the long way. Would you stand to your feet just right where you are? Just right where you are. Stand to your feet. Let's take the long way. Let's take the long way. Take the long way, God. Take the long way. I'm going to have Sam just come and sing. If you're going to go the long way, Sean, you're going to have to meet God on the mountain sometime. It's like a roller coaster. You're exactly right, brother. If you're going to go the long way, you're going to meet the enemy head on sometimes. If you're going to go the long way, every now and then the snake's going to get into the camp. You're going to have to remember that snake may bruise your heel, but God will crush its head. But there's such a story in the long way. It's a God-sized story. And it'll bring God-sized results. So today I'm going to ask you, if you are physically able, just to come kneel at an altar and tell God. Tell him I'm all in. And here's the thing. The invitation's not for me. I firmly believe I've done what God wanted me to do today. My soul, I mean, I had chills running up and down my body. I know God spoke into my life today. Don't you dare get up and carry back to that seat the comforts of Egypt. When you get up, leave Egypt there. Leave it at the cross and go from here with Jesus. Go from this moment with Jesus. As Sam sings, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. As Sam sings, would you just come, if you're physically able, just kneel and say, I'm going the long way, God. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm going to be straight up real with you. I told Pastor Dennis this week. When is the church, as a whole, just going to get back to where Jesus is the only thing that matters? Am I right, Dennis? We had this conversation. Maybe not in those exact words, but when are we going to stop hating each other? When are we going to stop picking apart each other? When is the church going to stop trying to get ahead? And when is the person going to stop trying to get elevated? And when is it just going to be that, man, Jesus is good and we love him? And man, he loves us too. And I can't help but tell everybody about the one who set me free. I can't help but tell everybody about the one who could set them free. I can't help but talk about what he did at the Red Sea of my life. I can't help but praise him. I can't help but share him. When can the church get over themselves and just get back to Jesus? And we need an army that doesn't just look like an army. We need an army that's battle-tested and ready for war. We need an army that the next time they stand in front of a battle, they win it because they have stood in front of God first. They conquer it because they have trusted the word of God. They see it fall because they obeyed what God had told them to do. God, bring us back as a church to a place of total brokenness, total dependence on you. May you take us whatever way you need to take us so that your glory can be made known. There are people still in captivity today that you desire to free. There are those that are broken today that you desire to heal. But God, I pray that you will tear down our church, that you will tear down our arrogance, our insecurity. You would tear down our need to be all about ourselves, our need for comfort, our need for pleasure. God, will you break us today? Take us the long way. Take us the long way. Take us the long way. We trust you. Use this invitation for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As she sings, would you come? Would you come?
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time.
Yes.
And sin separated. Reach was far too high. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Oh, thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life and brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Oh, you took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the blood, the blood. Oh, thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life and brought me from the darkness into glory. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working. is for the blind, the blind.
Let me hear you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life and brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Amen. Is there a worshiper in the house today that would just want to give God some praise? Just say thank you. You know, just because Jesus sets you free doesn't mean the journey's over there. Said it before, we'll say it again, we'll hit that door. If the cross is where the end of your salvation is, you've missed what salvation's all about. You say, but he set me free from my sins. He gave me forgiveness. If the cross is the end game, oh man, you've missed the gospel. Because the cross is where it starts. It's where it begins. It's where the journey goes forward. I hear people say all the time, one day, and I hope I can, and I can't wait till God does. But you're not guaranteed a one day. You're guaranteed this moment right here where you're at. And why would God want to be God tomorrow when he could be God today? And why would God want to deliver you down the road when God wants to deliver you where you are? And Satan says, man, we got to wait 3 days for him to get back up. When all of a sudden we get this truth in Matthew 27, that only Jesus died and our sins died. And the moment he died, the believers that had died before got up. Their graves were open and they rose from the dead in the moment of death. It's where it started. It's where it starts. Stop trying to get to the end line and just cross the beginning right here, right there. You said, but I've been a Christian 11 years. Well, maybe it's time you be a believer for day one. Day one. Day one. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you this right now. You're not truly thankful for what Jesus has done if you're not leaving here anxious to tell somebody about it. If you're thankful, you talk about it, don't you? At least your Facebook says you do. How many times do you see, look at what my kid did today. Look at the flowers that I got today. Am I right? You know why you want everybody to know? Because you're truly grateful. And when you're truly grateful, it comes out here. When you're truly free, it comes out here. It's by the mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. I am not who I used to be. I am not what I used to do. I am not. Neither are you. Say it with me. I am not what Satan says I am. Ready? Say it with me. I am not what Satan says I am. I am who he says I am. I am who he says I am. And today I am a child of God, a son, a daughter, a ransom, a redeemed, a freed, a saved, a righteous one, because he has made us worthy today. Start here, start here. Day one, day one. Let's go live for Jesus. Let's go. God bless you. God bless you. You praise him. You are dismissed. God bless you.